Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're very welcome to Wednesday afternoon's Late Lunch on LMFM Radio. Lots of chat, music, crack and more besides over the next couple of hours. And I have a €100 voucher again to give away this afternoon to the wonderful Valley Inn in Malera. We're coming live from the Valley Inn with Late Lunch tomorrow afternoon. Would you like a €100 voucher? Well, all you have to do is straight away WhatsApp or text me Valley Inn to 086 1800 658 and I'll call one of you before the end of the show. And you know the format today. I've gone back to the starter menu on the a la carte. Three items. One of them is on the Valley Inn a la carte menu. Starters. And if you get that one, you win the €100 prize. So Valley Inn to 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. And we'll give you a shout before the end of the show. I'm delighted to say hello to my first guest this afternoon. He's based in Navan at Robert Byrne Hairdressing. He's a consultant trichologist. Liam Byrne is in the house with me. Liam, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jerry.
Thanks for joining me on Late Lunch. It's my impression today, especially with men, that there are more men that have receding hairlines, hair loss, than ever before. I can't comment on the women's side. You might tell me that. Is my impression correct or incorrect?
In terms of the men, Jerry, it's always been the same.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, the vast majority of men, by the time they're in their 60s or 70s, have got some form of recession or whatever. In terms of the women's side, yeah, there definitely is more hair loss now. It's got to do with lots of different factors, not just one particular factor. Plus also more and more people are coming forward about it, whereas years ago they might have been too embarrassed. Not anymore.
What are the main underlying factors? Why does hairlines recede? Why have I lost my hair?
Well, male pattern hair loss or androgenic alopecia, there's lots of different names for it, is essentially a condition whereby your hormones, your androgens, your male hormones, are converted into dihydrotestosterone by an enzyme called 5-alpha reductase. I might as well give it its full title.
Well, don't you?
Make me look very clever. And essentially, what happens, Jerry, is there are androgen receptors in the hair follicles. The hair follicles are, if you like, a tube that goes down in the skin that your hair grows from. Your hair is not part of the skin itself. It actually grows in this hair follicle. What that does, Jerry, is over a period of years, it slowly miniaturizes that hair follicle. And as a result, the hair follicle produces finer and finer hair. So men and women who suffer also from this condition, it's called female patent hair loss, they don't notice hair falling out in the brush or in the pillow or whatever. It's just over a period of years, the hair gets lighter and lighter and lighter. And it follows a pattern. So on men, it's the top of the head. And on women, it's the top. But they can also, women is slightly different. They can experience thinning around the rest of the head as well.
It suits some men, may I say. You know what I mean? Some men look fine with it. It's embarrassing for others. I remember years ago, fellas wore caps or hats to cover it up. But the stigma from a woman's perspective, you know, it has to be more acute than men. Is that okay to say?
It used to be the case, Jerry, but now men are looking for solutions, to be perfectly
more
honest
so,
with you. More so absolutely.
Okay.
Whereas they accepted it years ago, now they tend to be looking for more solutions. So obviously, you know, hair transplants being one of them. Also, there's another method, which is a hair system, where basically it's, you know, men years and years ago used to wear a toupee, which looked very, very artificial. Now there are systems whereby you can actually apply hair, it's real human hair, but it's on a breathable silicone base to the top of the head and then blend it in cutting. And I guarantee you, you would never, ever know that somebody had that done. It's incredible. The problem with a hair transplant is always the amount of donor hair that you can get. So obviously a hair transplant is your own hair. It's the donor hair that you can harvest from the back of your head. So therefore, the surgeons tend to mostly concentrate that on the top of the head. Sorry, when I said top of the head, around the hairline.
Yes.
But very often on the crown, Jerry, that remains, fairly thin because there simply isn't enough donor hair to create that thickness. The other thing that happens with transplants is the hormone is still in your system. So therefore, and there's nothing wrong with it, it's just natural. But what happens is that it continues to cause the other hairs to miniaturise. And therefore, you know, your hair will get thinner. So very often you have to go on medication to try and keep the hair that you already have. So you can use a dihydrotestosterone blocker. It's called finasteride. And basically then you can use Regain as well. So Regain is a stimulant. Finasteride is a blocker. If you don't do that, then there's a real risk that basically you'll end up getting another transplant, or, you know, that you'll find that after a couple of years that, you know, that hair that you've had transplanted is perfect because it's not sensitive to the hormone, but the rest of the hair lightens out.
Wayne Rooney's done well with whatever he's done. And our own Eamon Duffy here, I spoke to Eamon about this, own Eamon here in LMFM, had a terrific job done. Yeah. He had a lot taken
from the back.
From the back.
Yeah.
And it
transplanted.
Really, it looks great, you know, with it. Yeah. And it's worked really well for
That's Eamon. Right. Because the hair at the back of your head is not sensitive. They don't have these androgen receptors that the hair on the top have. And by the way, humans aren't the only ones that experience this. It also happens in the animal kingdom as well. So therefore, when you have it done, it's very, very good.
Mm.
But particularly younger and younger men are getting it done now. So therefore, you know, you might find a young man gets it done just to fill out his frontal hairline to recreate it. But then, you know, 20 or 30 years down the line, he's continued to recede. He hasn't lost that hair, but the other hair has thinned out, you know. But yeah, they are very, very good.
They are. In your role as a consultant trichologist, do you do any of these procedures? The couple you mentioned, you don't do these yourself.
I don't do any hair transplants.
Yes.
No, that's a surgeon that
does
that. There are, excellent surgeons here in Ireland, and obviously people go to Turkey for them as well.
Yes.
People that I've seen from Turkey, I think are quite good. The only thing I notice about them is they've all got very similar frontal hairlines. But the other system, yeah, we do that.
Okay.
We do that for anybody who wants to go down that
route. So you do that with the natural human hair, as you said, on the silicone.
Yeah.
And that works
really, really well.
I know you mentioned Regain there, and I was looking this morning at all the different proprietary things you can buy to put into you, and they all claim to be miracle workers, that they'll, you know, stop the hair loss, restore the hair loss.
Yeah.
What's your view on the proprietaries offered across the counter?
It's become like the Wild West out there, Jerry.
Really?
Not to put too fine a point on it, to be honest with you. There are only two FDA-approved treatments for this type of hair loss, one being Regain, minoxidil being the active ingredient in it, and the second one called finasteride. Now, the brand name for finasteride is Propecia. It's 1 milligram of finasteride, but it's not available in Ireland. So therefore, they're the only two FDA-approved treatments for this type of hair loss. There is an FDA-approved treatment that's safe to use, and that's called low-light laser therapy. So that's safe to use, but it's not FDA-approved for efficacy for hair loss. So therefore, people do use it. Some people will swear by it. Some people will say it doesn't do anything. But essentially, the only two are that. So you will get a plethora of people, of treatments out there that people, particularly people, are very, very vulnerable, Jerry. And there's lots of people prepared to take money off them.
Yes.
But no, unfortunately, they don't work. And even apart from men who are going bald, there's a very, very common condition now in women, and I'm also starting to see it in men, where women, their hairline starts to move back. It's an autoimmune disorder. It's called frontal fibrosing alopecia. But essentially with that condition, the hair follicles are destroyed. It's a, what's called a cicatricial or a scarring hair loss. But I have people coming in who are basically getting injections into it, various things like that. They're spending a small fortune getting this done. There are no hair follicles there to rejuvenate. But yet, unfortunately, you know, people are being taken advantage of.
So it is really, really important to know the bona fides,
yes,
of who, yeah, you are attending,
yeah,
or what you put into your,
yeah,
hair.
Yeah, because again, you know, I could spend all day here talking about this, but essentially I'm a member of the Institute of Trichologists. I'm also a member of the International Association of Trichologists. I'm the vice chairperson of the Institute. The Institute was founded over 120 years ago. And basically, I started studying in 1984. I became a member or an associate member in 1987. So that's, you know, about 37 years
ago. It's a while
ago. But what I'm seeing now, you know, because of social media and everything else like that, essentially, even people who are claiming to be studying are suddenly they're experts in it. Now, you wouldn't get a student doctor, you know, diagnosing something like that. And yet, this is what's happening. And people are vulnerable. You know, they cling on to something that might help them. But the one thing with the Institute is that we have to abide by, or we are members of the Professional Standards Authority in the UK, which is a patient protection body in the UK. So on our Institute website, if a member is reported, it's actually, you can go and have a look and see, you know, who, maybe if you're looking up, if you want to go and see somebody, if there's been any, you know, kind of complaints about them and everything,
yes,
else like that. You know, it took us 3 years to get this accreditation. We had to review everything, all our code of ethics, our code of practice, you know, all our procedures and everything else like that. Plus also our members now are what's called level 5 accreditation. So when they study, the course that they do and the exams that they do are actually accredited.
Yes.
They're not like an internet,
yes,
thing where you get a cert at the end of it,
well,
or whatever. Yeah.
So what you're saying is the Institute, accreditation to the Institute,
yeah,
you know where you're going there.
Yes.
Why does this happen? Some people, the hair loss I'm talking about,
okay,
and not others. You meet people into their latter years and they,
yeah,
have the finest heads of hair ever.
Yeah.
Is it a hereditary thing?
Yes. Yeah, so therefore, in terms of men, as you said, you'll find some men who've, and even within families, you know, even within my own family, I've got two brothers and we've got varying degrees of hair loss. And you know, we've got the same DNA and,
yeah,
genes and everything else like that. It's just like having brown eyes and blue eyes. So, yeah, it's just a look at the draw, Jerry, you know. And so for that part of it, it is, you know, you're blessed if your hair stays intact.
It's been said that it comes from the mother's side and,
yeah,
from the mother's genes and DNA,
yeah,
etc.
Yeah. No, it actually comes from both sides.
Both?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it comes from both sides of the family. Yeah, not just one side of the family.
And can it skip generations? You know what I mean? Like that, is it a bit of potluck as well? You know what I mean? That, you know, you mentioned your own brothers and that as,
yeah,
well, and people listening today can think of their own families and relations. You know,
yeah,
is there an element of that involved?
Yeah, there is an element of that. Skipping generations, no. I know what you're getting at, but no, Jerry, it's generally... Now, it could be that, you know, you have three brothers in the family and none of you suffer and then your
yeah,
nephews do. So, yeah, it can do, I suppose, that way, but not really. It's not one of these conditions that does that.
Pregnancy.
Yeah.
And women.
Yeah.
and a thinning of the hair. What about that area?
Okay, so when women are pregnant, you know, they have an increase in estrogen, which is female hormones. Female hormones, and this is the unusual thing about hair on our body. So female hormones basically promote hair growth on our head, but not on the rest of the body. Whereas androgens, male hormones, promote hair on the rest of our body, but not on our head. So when, you know, a woman has a baby postpartum, about 50% of women, about 3 months after they've had their baby, can experience hair loss for a number of reasons. First of all, with the increase in estrogen, they're not losing as much. You normally lose approximately 100 hairs a day. You don't lose as much. But after you've had the baby, that those hairs that you've been holding on to go. And then secondly, it's very common for women to be low in iron, and therefore low iron can have an effect on it as well.
Does it come back? Does it strengthen
that
again?
In the case of the postpartum, in other words, hair loss after baby, yes, it does. If it doesn't, then it's generally because of low blood iron or maybe thyroid or whatever. But yeah, it's only a self-limiting hair type of hair loss.
I have a lovely message to read to you this afternoon. Eamon Kearns from Hodgins Hair Design in Drogheda would like to say, Liam is a miracle man when it comes to dealing with hair loss. In all my years in the business, and Eamon Kearns has been a lot of years in the business, I've sent clients to Liam with hair problems who received absolutely great results. Liam, I just want to say you're a hard worker and we all appreciate everything you've done for us over the years. Eamon Kearns and Drogheda, how about that?
Thanks, Eamon. The cheque is in the post.
No need for that. Will you take this one? Hi, Jerry. Could you ask Liam hair loss and thyroid? I was diagnosed with it nearly a year ago and have lost a lot of hair. Is there anything I can take to help with it? Will it regrow? The doctor says all of the blood tests are okay, and that's from Geraldine today.
Okay. Hi, Geraldine. So, yes, there is a link between thyroid and hair loss, whether it be an underactive thyroid gland or an overactive thyroid gland. Obviously, you know, the doctor would have done the various blood tests, say typically TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone and whatever. I'm not sure whether your thyroid is over or underactive, but in terms of once you get the TSH within range and the T4 within range, your hair should respond. Sometimes you can have, you know, your thyroid is just in that grey area where subclinically it might be under or over, but it's not enough to medicate or whatever. It's a kind of a difficult one to talk about over air without going through everything.
Yes.
But what I would say is that generally, when you get your TSH within range, you should be okay, and it will grow back. The problem is that, say, hair grows 1 centimetre a month. So if you've got hair down to your shoulder, for example, can take about 2 years before your hair fully feels back to normal. But as I said, it does respond, you know, once you get your thyroid sorted. Yeah.
Mary's been on, just tuning in. You may have covered this already, Jerry, but would you ask that gentleman, my hair is thinning on the top of my head. I'm an older woman. Can I do anything?
Okay. So therefore, again, it's difficult to say it without seeing it because this job is very visual. But if it's thinning on the top and it's been a slow and gradual process, then it probably is. And particularly if this lady is postmenopausal, it probably is female patent hair loss, which affects about 4 in 10 women after the menopause. Generally, the treatment for something like that would be Regain. Now, there's two forms of Regain, one for men and one for women. They're both 5% minoxidil, and basically women use it once a day, men use it twice a day. The thing is, it doesn't work for everybody. So in terms of women, it'll work for about 3 to 4 out of every 10 women. But that would be what I would try first. So the way you do it is you apply it at night time, half a cap full, wash your hands, brush your teeth, go to bed, forget about it. The main side effect with the topical minoxidil is it can irritate your scalp. So sometimes it's very good to use an anti-dandruff shampoo with it, yeah, just to keep your scalp healthy.
And as you say, to anyone listening to us today, you know, Liam mentioned it there, and I want to say it, it's a very visual thing and it's a very individual thing as well.
Yeah.
So if you have a concern or a worry, give Liam a shout at Robert Byrne Hairdressing in Navan, and he'd be only too glad to see you. When it comes to hair dyes and dyeing the hair, and many do their own thing,
yeah,
for sure with that, can that have an impact on hair loss?
More hair breakage than hair loss, Jerry.
Right.
It doesn't really cause hair loss. The biggest problem in terms of doing your hair colour at home is, first of all, the potential for allergies. Because in hair colour, the most, not the most common, but the active ingredient is called paraphenylenediamine. And essentially, that can cause an allergy. So it's very important that you skin test before you apply it, just to make sure that you're not allergic to it. And even if you've been colouring your hair for 20 years, you can still develop an allergy to it. And unfortunately, over the years, I've seen people with very, very severe, even hospitalised with it. In terms then of the hair itself, the biggest thing I see with it is that people overprocess it. In other words, that they bring it onto the ends too quick. It dries the ends out. They become sensitized, and then that can cause breakage. But it doesn't cause hair loss, no.
Shampoos, the quality of the shampoo and conditioner you use, you know, you can buy it for a few cents or a couple of euro, or you can pay an arm and a leg, as you know, for.
Yeah.
Is there a difference there? Can that have an impact?
Again, in terms of hair loss, no. It can in terms of your scalp. So mainly it's the preservative and the perfume that are in shampoos that can cause, you know, an irritation on the scalp or whatever. Like, you know, washing powder for clothes and that. Some people find they can only use certain brands of washing powder or whatever. Definitely in terms of if you've got, say, highlight balayage where your hair is bleached or, you know, coloured, then yes, it is very important to use a good quality shampoo because it stops the colour from fading quicker because of the pH in it. And also in terms of bleaching or whatever, you know, essentially it repairs the hair. When I say repair, it means that it kind of acts like a polyfiller on the hair temporarily to improve the hair, the moisture content and the strength of the hair. But one of the most important things, and, you know, we forget about this in Ireland because of one of the most damaging things on hair is actually ultraviolet light from sunlight. So it is very important as we use sun cream, you know, as an anti-aging for all the women out there, as an anti-aging. I mean, it's the most effective anti-aging product that you can use because 70% of skin aging is due to ultraviolet light. It's the same with the hair, and it does damage the hair over a period of time. So it is very important in terms of, you know, to use a spray in sun protector on it, and particularly when you go on holidays.
There you go. That's something you mightn't have thought about. A very important thing to do. Just a quick one before we finish. Should you shampoo twice when you're washing your hair?
I do personally, but it's not necessary. It's a preference.
I'm lucky to get one dollop of it on. I don't think I ever saw a conditioner in my life. Liam, you've been absolutely great. For people listening to us today, if they want to book a consultation with you, how do they do it? Contact Robert Byrne?
Yeah, on Robert Byrne Hairdressing in Navan.
It's straightforward.
That's right. And please be patient because if I can give a shout out to Harriet, our receptionist. Unfortunately, Harriet had an operation on her back recently, and she's like my right hand, and she's out of work at the moment, and by God am I missing her. So I'm not as organised as I would normally be.
But it just shows you the building blocks of a business. If you take out one, it doesn't have to be the man at the top. You see the difference that it makes. But
absolutely,
do have patience. But as you said earlier on, I just want to come back to that to say there's nothing to beat a personal consultation to deal with the individual on a unique basis, and that's important to say. We'll have you back for sure. So interesting today, our conversation. But for the moment, Liam Byrne, thank you so much for joining me on Late Lunch.
Thank you very much.
on Ash Wednesday, which was St. Valentine's Day this year, my next guests join me in the studio and they're back to conclude the Lenten season. I'm delighted to say hello again to Father Paddy Rush and Father Akan. You're very welcome back to the show, both of you. Great to see you again.
Hello, Jerry. Thank you for having us in again. And hello to all our listeners, all your listeners, and wishing them all a happy Easter.
Yeah. Well, Father,
thank you very much, Jerry, for the invitation.
You are very welcome. And you are even more welcome, Father Akan, because sitting beside me here on the table is a Malteser Easter egg. Thank you so much. And Paddy, you have made Louise Walsh's
day, yes,
her week, her year. Because you see, I was getting all the eggs up until this, but you brought Louise in a lovely egg too.
Well, I was listening yesterday, you see, and yeah, I heard all the drama about the eggs and stuff like that. And I didn't hear Louise mentioned, so in terms of getting an egg. So I thought, well, whatever we get, Jerry, we're going to bring Louise an egg.
Absolutely. She's just said her prayers have been answered, and they have indeed. And you will all be in her prayers for sure now for the eggs. Yes. Thank you so much. It's very,
very
kind
welcome
of you
very
to
welcome
think
welcome
of us today. I've stuck by it. I've stuck by
fair
it.
Play
I
to you.
Haven't had a chalk. I haven't had a bicky, a sweet, nothing.
Not all. Even on St. Patrick's Day.
Didn't break it. No, I don't. I'm not into that. I think you're either in.
All right.
All right. It's the whole hog or nothing with me, to be honest with you, Paddy. Now, when can I'm going till Sunday. I have to go till Sunday, anyway.
Well,
yes.
I would tend to go to Sunday. Yes,
yes.
I think that
yes.
would be.
Yes, well, that'd be fair enough to go the whole way and just finish it then.
I think finish it off.
You know, Louise says I've been a little cranky the last few weeks. And would that be anything to do with the lack of chocolate or missing all that I've given up? And my crisps, I must mention, I haven't had it.
You love your crisps, Jerry.
I love a bag of crisps as well. But look, anyway, I don't think it was to do with that. It was just maybe aging, Paddy. You know when you...
Jerry, it comes to us all. It comes to us all. When you get to my age, Jerry, you'll be cranky too.
Anyways, I haven't long to go now and I'm out of the woods. It is Easter week and the Lenten season concludes on Sunday with Easter Sunday. Just to say, today, Spy Wednesday, is that the proper term for today?
Well, it was the old term,
yes.
Spy Wednesday.
What's the new term?
We don't say it as much. You know, it's not as not used as much.
Okay.
I think that's what we're experiencing. That, you know, while the Easter Triduum is still present, I suppose there's not as much familiarity with what it used to be and so on. So
yes,
I wouldn't say struggling, but we're dealing with that as church and as priests, you know, where that not everybody has some of the older understanding, certainly that I would have as a young fella.
Yes.
Like I was talking on Sunday about the long gospel. And when I was a nipper, when I was a kid, like the long gospel seemed to go on forever and ever. You know,
I was an altar boy and I remember in the Dominican church some altar boys passing out if you got a warm palm Sunday.
That's right.
They couldn't last on their feet. Did you ever come across anything like
absolutely.
That?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
But now it just doesn't seem that long. You know, like I had three masses on Easter Sunday and it didn't, or Palm Sunday, and it didn't seem. I did the long gospel, the dialogue gospel at each one of them, and it didn't seem as long, you know. But look, things change, and I suppose as we get older, our perception of things changes.
Absolutely, Father Akan, Easter to you as a priest, what it's the most important. It is the most important time in the church of the year.
Yes, it is. Easter is the most important because that is when Catholics and all Christians are encouraged to believe in Jesus and to believe in God and to have the faith that goes beyond the grave, you know? That's the most important thing, looking beyond the grave.
Yes.
Looking for life beyond the grave.
Yeah.
That Jesus conquered death.
Yes.
That is the fundamental belief.
Yes, and the essence of the faith, the church, everything.
Yes, of course. And I think that's where we find, certainly, resurrection. Yeah. Death is not the end. Yeah. And I say it at every funeral mass. I say, you know, for Christians, for Catholics, we believe that life is changed, not ended. That and this is the moment it all began with the resurrection of Jesus, you know. So it's beautiful. I'm watching, and we have been watching the parish with some difficulties at times, The Chosen. And could I highly recommend it to all of your listeners? It's a crowd-funded American production of The Life of Christ. Mm. And I love the way that they have reimagined, you know, these big dialogues and these big moments, you know, the betrayal of Jesus, the Last Supper, and so on and so forth.
Where can you see it? What platform is it?
Oh, it's available. It's on YouTube, but also from The Chosen as a website itself.
Okay.
The Chosen.
Interesting. You are more than settled in. Father was telling us last time you arrived just before Christmas, and you have even more work now, I see. The bishop, there's no shortage of call for your services, Father Akan.
Yes.
No.
Well, there's a lot of work, but I would say also that the work is not that tedious, you know, because there are people available to help, and all I need to do is to be available, you know, and to encourage the people in their faith.
Yes.
So when people come to church already, they know what they are coming for.
Yeah.
You know, so all I need to do is just to be there and to work with them, you know, and then to ensure that we encourage each other.
Yes.
You know, because I'm first of all a Christian before even becoming a priest.
Yes. Yes.
So I work with other Christians in the church as a worshiping community.
Yeah.
You know, so, but Easter is an interesting period because without the resurrection, that our faith is useless.
Yes, it is nothing.
Actually, without the resurrection of Christ.
Yeah, and you are all that you are there. I've said this before at the significant points of life: the baptism, the various communions, confirmations, marriages, in times of ill health, and ultimately in saying goodbye to very close loved ones. And I just want to mention today, because I think of them, the people who died on our roads outside Armagh in recent days, that horrific crash near Claremorris in Mayo last night, the pedestrian just up the road outside Newry, and others as well.
And I've been praying every weekend over the last number, since the beginning of the year, because I think we're higher this year in road deaths than ever. And I suppose it's just all of us taking that little bit extra more care and presuming, I think a lot of us can presume that we're going to be okay, you know, and that is a great presumption to have, but it just doesn't happen automatically. We have to make it happen. We have to be careful. And I know that the temptation is always, and I get into the car sometimes and I find myself maybe thinking, I have to get to a place, without thinking, I need to be there safely.
Safely.
And, you know, it happens to everybody, I think.
Is that
you know?
The most difficult aspect of your work, you know, in tragedy, where you have to deal with families and people who've lost unexpectedly?
Yeah, it's difficult to always express. You know, one can easily say my sincere condolences, but sometimes it's difficult to actually know how people feel when they lose their loved ones, especially young people who die on the road. It's very tragic. Sometimes words are not adequate enough to express, you know, sympathy and sorrow. So it's quite difficult, a difficult time, really.
Yeah, it is.
At funerals, I must say.
Mm. In fact, I was at a funeral on Monday. Someone you met before, Marcus McCune. You've interviewed Marcus before.
Yes.
And he said to say hello. I was telling him that I was coming down. So his dad died after a long battle with Alzheimer's and dementia. And that was very, you know, there was a sense of sadness and sorrow, but also there's a sense of his struggle is over. And he has gone to what we pray for, we hope for, that better place. And I suppose for me as a Christian, as Akan said, and as a Catholic, it's that resurrection is one thing, but it brings new life, hope and joy, which then affects life here. That's supposed to, Jesus didn't want his disciples to live for a future world where they were going to be for eternity. He wanted them to, and that's why the church came to be. He wanted them to build that kingdom now. He wanted them, all our lives need to be touched with hope, joy, new life.
Yes.
And we see it all around us, the beautiful daffodils, the gorgeous spring flowers that are coming forth. The weather isn't just great yet.
The rain, that's non-stop.
It's sunny today, Jerry. It's sunny at times today. So I know it's difficult to see it inside, but new life comes.
I hear what you're saying. And as well as that, life is a circle and our time comes and goes. And that's to allow other people have their life and their existence as well. We could not all live forever. This little planet of ours wouldn't cope with. I want to ask you something. I popped in for a prayer to St. Peter's last evening, and I noticed all of the statues covered up. Just explain what that is about.
Well, it predates my time. I remember when I was helping out as a student at home in the sacristy, that was part of our jobs to cover statues. I assume it's you see, the church liturgy is all about drama. Anybody who goes to church knows that there's things, particularly over the Easter time, like the washing of the feet, the kissing of the cross, the Easter fire. There's bells and smells, there's sights and sounds that all touch on the drama. Yes. That we're witnessing. And I think the covering of the statues goes back to something of that
yes.
The church is trying to convey, and in the past it was conveying to a people maybe who didn't have the language of the church, Latin, so didn't maybe fully intellectually understand what was happening, but they knew that when things were covered and the there was a change in the way the life of the church
yeah went. And Good yeah. Friday reflects that yeah. as well.
And just in addition to what Father Paddy said, also it is symbolic, because as we move into the Triduum, you know, which gives us an idea of what Jesus went through, the distress, the sorrow, the pain, and the death. So that veil is like a veil of mourning. We are going into a mood of mourning.
Yes.
So the purple cloth covering the statues is to indicate the sign of the mood of the time. It's yes. the time of mourning. You know?
Yes, yes.
So we are mourning somehow.
It ties in with Good Friday
with Good
and
Friday,
all that
yes.
as well, before, yeah. through Easter Saturday before and then the resurrection. Into Sunday.
Yeah. Into Sunday. And this year, as we've done the last number of years, we're having a dawn mass in Fieldstown outside. The last few years, it's been wonderful. All through, I think we started it the first year I was there, so 2019, and we've had it every year.
So explain that. At dawn,
before dawn, when it's still dark.
On Sunday.
On Sunday morning, we'll be at church, outside church in the car park. And we'll start to celebrate Mass in the darkness. And then just as the Mass continues, the dawn begins to rise. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
So what
I
time?
Hope the sun shines. Yeah, sunrise.
It sounds like New Grange in midwinter when you're hoping for the clear sky in the morning.
Course, yeah.
What time will people gather at?
So we're starting 5:45, which, as you know, this year, the hours. So before 4:45, Jerry. I don't think I'll go to bed, Father Akam.
Why not?
What do you think?
Stay up. Stay. Fall asleep on Sunday afternoon. That's lovely.
It's lovely. And last year we had about 60 people there, maybe 56. Yeah.
So 4:45.
5:45
on
Sunday morning.
And change your clock. This is
when
the thing.
You see, the clocks are changing.
Yeah,
this weekend.
So make sure that you get the time right. Look, nowadays it mostly changes automatically.
It does,
anyway.
It does, yeah.
So you start in the darkness, and the Mass evolves into the light.
Well, it's like the darkness into light walk, as we've all I've done that before, and I think people love that. People love that, and it's so symbolic. Again, it's coming back to this drama. You know, life is a drama. Yeah, there is a dramatic part to life, and I think the church reflects that very well. When I do a funeral, for example, or even weddings, baptisms, all of those things, there's drama in that. There's sight, sound, word, action. There's
smell too, you know?
Incense, and all of that.
Do you know what I want to say? And I've just reconnected with it lately. When you go into a church and you sit there, phone off, absolutely, at the silence with you. And nobody else is something this world needs more.
Well, silence we all need. We don't have silence anymore.
No, and I've reconnected with that for sure, I have to say. Will you finish up today? Have you something to say to us before we finish up about Easter to our listeners today?
Would you like to go? Okay, so I would say that, look, our lives should be, are reflected in the life of Christ. And I think Jesus wants to be in all of our lives. And we see that through the divine drama of the Triduum. I think if we can connect ourselves in the sadnesses of life, that's great. But I think the biggest challenge is to connect ourselves in the joys of life. To know that when we are happy and things are going well, and that there's a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. And the more we're thankful, I think, the more we're able to reach out to others.
And the world, perhaps a word on peace in the world.
Well, that would be my point, because, I mean, like listening to the news, somehow evil is news, you know. So a lot of terrible things happening, like what is happening in Gaza now, in Ukraine and other troubled areas of the world. But just to encourage the listeners that God still has the final say about the world. And I believe that overall, God is satisfied with the world. And the resurrection gives us that chance, you know, to see the world in a positive side, because there are so much goodness and beauty in the world. And that's also signs that God is present, you know. So, and that could be the story of the resurrection too, at least for 2024.
And it never makes the news, but it is today on LMFM's Late Lunch. I thank you both for dropping in this Easter time. Wish you a happy and holy Easter. Thank you for joining us at the beginning of the season and at the end. And I look forward, to finish, to tucking into my Malteser, and I'm sure Louise does to hers. Is that...
It's what, a Butler's, I think.
It's... Ooh.
Butler's milk chocolate egg with honeycomb.
I'm a little jealous. Anyway, not at all. I'm thrilled. Thank you so much for your
God
kindness.
Bless you, and God bless all your listeners.
Father Paddy Rush, Father Akan, thank you for joining
Thank you very much, and happy Easter to you, Jerry.
Thank you. You're chuffed with your egg, aren't you?
I am. I think they were the first priests I've ever hugged in my life. I marched in, didn't I? Can you hug a priest?
Isn't that idea of the
lovely
dawn mass?
I love it.
Fieldstown.
I might try and get there.
I think that is absolutely lovely. 5:45.
I can find Fieldstown.
You'll find it. No bother. Listen, it's within a stone's throw where you're
I
living.
Know it is, but it you really know me, is. I can't even make it to the end of my gate without getting lost.
Well, the sat nav or something like that will get you there. It's not too far away. Thank
sounds
you.
Lovely, though.
It sounds beautiful. Mm. Thanks to Rose Healy. She sent us a beautiful card. Rose has had open heart surgery recently.
Oh.
Huge operation. She wanted to thank the doctors and staff in Navan Hospital, at the Mater Hospital as well. And she's doing really well, she tells me. About 5 or 6 weeks on, she feels like a new woman. Rose, you're a legend. You really are. Mm. Thanks for the lovely card. Isn't it beautiful? And she never forgets us. Rose, I hope your recuperation continues as well as it has been for the last number of weeks. And we love your card. And well done to all the staff in Navan and the Mater as well. Louise, they're digging up the road.
We should have it as a little kind of thing every day, shouldn't we?
They're
again.
Digging up the road again. Again. I couldn't believe it this morning.
What
folks,
now?
You know the story. Ballymakenny Road, junction of Matson Lodge, Ballymakenny Road. This must be the fourth or fifth time they've dug it up in weeks. And if you remember the last time, they threw porridge into it. People lost wheels of their cars. Mm. And it took, what an effort by Kevin Callan to get the whole field on a weekend and then permanently reinstated. And Jesus, this morning, they're below digging up the road again. I was going to
go. The exact same spot.
Very same. Do you know what? What is in that ground? Is the gold there or something? What are they digging for? Or are they that? I'm not going
to trying to get Australia the cheap way.
Why do they have to dig it out 4 or 5 times in a matter of weeks or months? What is the story? Can you not just get the job done at once?
Is it water? Is it telecommunications? Do you know underneath there?
Could be anything. Mm. But anyway, I'm watching this with interest and I'm going to keep it to the forefront here. And if they don't fill it back in, I'll tell you one thing, there's going to be hell to pay. So Louth County Council, local politicians, I am watching hour on hour this latest dig at the corner of Matson Lodge and Ballymakenny Road. And I'll tell you what, it better be filled in, it better be reinstated fully, or I'll tell you one thing, you're going to be called out on this show ad infinitum, I promise you.
If anybody going along the Ballymakenny Road sees curtains twitching and binoculars from the window, don't report him to the guards. It's only Jerry.
I'll be out sitting on the wall beside them with my mobile phone. That's what I'll tell you I'll be doing. Anyway, they're digging up the road. Today is one big special day in our family, the 27th of March, because today my eldest grandchild, Miss Ava Flynn, is 9 today.
9.
She is 9 today.
I can still remember getting the text from you the morning.
Do you?
That, yeah, she I was in my kitchen and I got a text from you that it was a baby girl.
Ah, Ava. Yes, yes. And then, of course, followed after that, Pippa, Harry and Olivia. So, you know, it's been a number of times that special message has come through. Mm. But anyway, she's 9 today and she's growing up. She really is growing up. And
little lady.
She is, for sure. And she's on her Easter holidays at the moment. And I hope she's listening, because from all the Kellys and the Flynns, we want to wish you the happiest of happy birthdays. And for Miss Ava Flynn today, She loves more than this fella. She's really getting a great little taste, you know, herself in different forms and musicians and stars of the music scene. But anyway, I went along with her and her mum and dad to a concert that I'll never forget. Yes, it was Mr. George Ezra. So for today on Late Lunch, on Ava Flynn's 9th birthday, especially for you, Ava, here he is, Mr. George Ezra, and one of his big, big hits, it's The Shotgun.
Homegrown alligator, see you later. Gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. The sun ain't changing the atmosphere. Architecture unfamiliar, I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. Gun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone, a someone, a someone.
Mr. George Ezra for Miss Ava Flynn on her 9th birthday. Happy birthday, Ava, from everybody. Anyway, what a great song that is. What a wonderful performer is Mr. George Ezra. Eamon called in from Vancouver. Hi, Eamon in Vancouver. And he wanted to say a big thank you and hello to Anne and Catherine at the hospital shop in Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital because they arranged a wonderful hamper for his aunt there. And what a beautiful hamper it was indeed. You would not get this service anywhere else in the world, says Eamon. There you go. Well done, girls. Congratulations. Lorraine has been on and she says, I wish you luck with Loud County Council, Jerry, especially anything in the south of the county. You're wasting your time. Well, I have to say, Lorraine, I got the whole fix the last time. Hopefully they won't leave a big gash in the road this time round. But I hear what you're saying, Lorraine. Thank you indeed for the comment. Up next on Late Lunch, they're representing Ireland at the World Hip Hop Championships in Arizona in the United States. We're having a chat with some of the members from Fit Kids, Fit Teens. It's been a while since she's been on the show with me on Late Lunch, but she's back today with some of our wonderful students. Yes, I'm talking about Jacinta Cassidy and Fit Kids, Fit Teens. I want to welcome Jacinta back to the show. And today, joining us are Sinead Malarkey, Lee Floyd, Jenny Deegan and Luca Obriek. Is that right? Pronounce your name for me, Luca. Watch it. Obirek. Thank you very much indeed for clarifying that. You're all welcome. Thanks very much for joining me on the show. Jacinta, congratulations, because you have been chosen and a representation you have today of the group going out to the World Hip Hop Championships representing Ireland in Arizona. Well done. Well done, everybody. How did you get there?
Well, first, Jerry, thanks for having us.
Not at all.
We really appreciate it. And before I start, I know that we've been getting messages all morning from all the little fit kids and fit teens all over Louth and Meath wishing as well, and they're all listening in. I promise them a big shout out. So hi everyone, I know you're on your holidays. This is us, we're all here at the station with Jerry, and we'll see you after the holidays. But back to what you were saying there. So in 2020 it was amazing. We qualified to represent Ireland in the World Championships. Everyone was training like athletes. It was amazing. And then COVID hit. And unfortunately, everything was cancelled. Our dance school, like all the other dance schools, were closed down for 18 months. And it's been a devastating time. And we've had to pick up the piece and start all over again. So that's why it's extra special for us that this year, again, we got together, trained so hard, and we have qualified. So it's all roads ahead now to Arizona. Unfortunately, no government funding. So we are just, you know, appealing to the communities out there. Help us, please. And, you know, we'll do all the rest. These guys, non-stop training, 29 of them, non-stop, sacrificing so much to get out there to represent Louth, Meath and, of course, Ireland.
Yes.
And we would so appreciate anything.
So if you're listening today and you can help 29 wonderful young people go to Arizona, when are you going?
Beginning of August. We're all heading around the 2nd of August.
And you can only imagine, this is an expensive trip, you know, to go there and take part in it. But if there's anyone listening today there that can help, how can they contact you if there's somebody, this, you know, pulls at the heartstrings of somebody.
Well, it'd be wonderful if there's some wonderful benefactor out there who's saying, let's give a bit. And any tiny bit, it all mounts up. So I can give out my phone number. That's no problem. Will I give it out now, Jerry? So it's 086-268-5280. 086-268-5280. And if anyone wants to contact me, I'd be so, so happy.
And it's Fit Kids, Fit Teens, and children from Louth and Meath all partake in this as well. You've brought, how did you pick these for? It must have been a job from the 29.
Well,
wasn't?
Do you know what? These are some of our most passionate dancers. Okay. And they all live very locally. So
that's the thing.
They didn't have to get
so
up too early.
So if you're not here, it's just because you're a bit of a distance away. The short straw, the nearer distance, they're here with us this afternoon. Let me say hello first this afternoon on the show to Jenny Deegan. Jenny, welcome to Late Lunch. Thank you for joining me on the show. Tell us about you and Fit Kids, Fit Teens. When did you join and how long are you with them?
Oh, I've joined when I was around 3.
Yeah.
And I actually started with Sinead sitting beside me. So we've been doing it for years. It's just like one big community and family. And every week when you go, it's just like a break from reality. Just...
So 3 when you joined. What age are you now?
17.
You're a veteran. 14 years there. My God. Are you at school still? Are you at school? Where do you go?
Green Hills.
All right. And what year are you in there?
5th year.
All right. Okay. Exams next year, is it?
Yeah.
Leaving cert next year.
Yeah.
What is, for listeners today, hip-hop, what is hip-hop dancing? Explain it. What is it about? Freestyle?
There's freestyle, choreography, so many different aspects and just... letting yourself go from, like, not just sitting on your phone at home on social media, coming, like, having a break from reality nearly and going in where everyone's friends, it's all a community.
Yes.
It's just like one big family.
I am so delighted, young woman, you said that. Not on your phones. For the love of God, because life is way more than phones or online. I want to tell you all this because, you know, and they're great. I'm not saying they are great. Of course they are. But God Almighty, the dancing. So you obviously have a massive love for it. Were you involved when, just as Jacinta mentioned there, when you qualified before and didn't get there?
Yeah.
It must feel great, does it, to get there at last? That bloody COVID.
Thank God.
God Almighty. That was such a disappointment, was it, for you?
Yeah, there's been a lot of opportunities that we missed out because of COVID.
Because
obviously.
Of that, yeah.
So.
And what could you do? You couldn't dance either. The school couldn't get together at that stage. That must have been awful, was it?
I was 18 months without dancing. So it's a lot when you're sitting at home and there's nothing else to do.
It's a long, long time for sure. Let's chat to the lady sitting beside you there, who is Sinead Mullarkey. Sinead,
hello,
welcome to the show.
You?
Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Tell us your story and Fit Kids, Fit Teens.
I've been, same with Jenny, I've been dancing since I was 3. So that's 14 years. But my sister and my brother started well before me. So I've kind of just grew up with the dancing. Like, it's just second nature at this point.
Mm. Who comes up with the routines?
Well, we have a few instructors. In Drada class, it'd be Michaela Matthews and Ani Carolyn. So they'd be a big part. We have loads of instructors in Fit Kids, Fit Teens from all over the place.
Yes.
So they put a lot of work in that a lot of people wouldn't see. They put a lot of work in behind the scenes when we're all at home where they're always busy.
How often do you practice? How often do you get together with Fit Kids, Fit Teens?
Oh, like, especially this week, it's been every day.
Really?
Yeah, it's been non-stop. But with our mega crew, it'd be every Sunday for 6 hours. So that's the 29 of us coming together and practicing for 6 hours on a Sunday since the start of September. But we have dance classes during the week as well that I am training up to be an instructor, so I'm doing them as well. So that's great.
Good on you.
Yeah.
That's a huge commitment, isn't it? A 6 hour on a Sunday.
Oh, it's necessary. As I said, it's like training As athletes, and down to what they eat, what they take into their bodies, their sleep. I mean, they're very serious. They're very passionate, very serious about this. And I think this is why I am totally appealing to the government, all those Drogheda councillors and, you know, everybody out there. I sent out 31 letters to TDs and I got 4 replies and I'm begging them now. And I do want to thank the people that have come back to us. We really appreciate it. But guys, these people, like, if you knew what these young people have gone through and now what they are prepared to do for our country to represent and mix all over the world in this time that peace is paramount with young people from all over the world and standing up there representing every TD out there, every councillor out there should be listening, please.
Well, there's a lot listening to us today. I absolutely know that for sure. Let me have a word with Lee Floyd, who's standing by to chat to me. Lee, welcome to Late Lunch.
Thank you
for joining me. Hip hop is for boys and girls here, two girls, two boys. The troupe is made up of a mix of boys and girls as well. How did you come to hip hop or hip hop to you?
So I started when I was about 9, just a little bit before COVID hit. I was trying to find something to do. Like, I was in and out of loads of different activities, hobbies, like football, because that's like my granddad really wanted me to get somewhere in sport. So he used to always bring me to the football, but I just never had an interest.
Okay.
So I started dancing and it just seemed to click and it just seemed to be something that I really wanted to do. And then all these people, it's like a big family, all these people came, started supporting me and it made me want to stay. And I feel really passionate for it. And I've been at it for about maybe, I think it's like 5 years. And I've gone to loads of competitions and loads of places and met loads of new people. And all these opportunities that are being given to me through the dancing are just amazing. Like, I don't think I get them anywhere else.
Wow. What an endorsement for Fit Kids, Fit Teens, I have to say. Absolutely brilliant. But you've obviously found your niche now. This is your passion. Yeah. This is what you love. So, being part of this crew that have qualified for the Worlds, what was that like to go through the competition? You know, be up against it. It's not easy, you know what I mean, to win. But to win out ultimately to represent Ireland. What did that feel like?
Getting the honour to like represent Ireland, it was just amazing. Like, actually, it was great. We were there, I think it was for 3 days we were there, and it was a wonderful experience. Like, it really was. Like, I've been to other competitions, but it was nothing like the Worlds. It was nothing like the qualifiers. There was just something special about it. And even though it was a competition, we were all still together. We were all still a community, even the people that we were going up against.
Yes.
There was no negativity anywhere.
Yes.
We were all supporting each other, even if you were losing or winning or whatever you were doing. Everybody had each other's backs. Like, but it was a wonderful feeling when they called our name for the winning.
I can only imagine that feels when your name comes out and you are the one. It must have been just bedlam. I suppose you couldn't hear your ears. Is that fair enough
cheers
to say?
Yeah. Cheers and more cheers.
Your name is all that. Let's have a word with Luca Obirek. Welcome to the show.
Thank
Luca,
you.
Thank you for joining me. Hi. You're a young man as well. Tell me your story about this group, how you became involved.
So, my brother, he was really into it at the start. And I was just like kind of following him, you know, because that's what you do when you're a younger brother. You just get everything off them.
So through your brother you became involved?
Yeah, he started dancing when he was about 4.
Yeah.
And I always tried to join in when I was about 2. But I only really started when I was about 3.
Oh, God almighty, you were late. You were late, 2 to 3. And what age are you now?
I'm 12.
Okay, so you're there quite a while as well. So how does it work? Do you know what I mean? The dance routines and that. Do you all have equal parts to play or do you have different roles within it? Explain that to me.
We all have like equal parts.
Right.
Like, everyone has like their own kind of like style.
Yes. And it all marries together into the final, you know what I mean, presentation that you put on as well. Sunday's giving it 6 hours. Is that okay with you? It's no bother. You don't mind giving it the 6 hours on the Sunday, do you?
No. I like I'd do anything for dancing.
Oh, isn't that just lovely? Anything. It's just the passion. Jacinta, the passion here today is unbelievable.
I can't even say how proud I am. And also, not only all of our dancing supporters, but the parents behind these children. Mm. I know the sacrifices that they have made for these children. You know, I really see it. It's the pride. I'm watching them. And these are our future. These children are the future parents, the future decision makers of our country. And I think if we have a bunch like this, we'll be doing all right.
Oh, for sure. I just get that absolutely by the bucketful here today. When I say, do I know anything about hip hop? I do know that I want just a little examination going on here. Am I right? The various styles, up rock, breaking, locking, roboting, boogaloo and popping. Is that right? Am I right?
Yes.
All right, give me a mark
you've
on that,
your,
will you?
You've done your research.
God, I was hoping I'd covered everything off there. And the most famous hip hopper was Buddha Stretch, I think, was the guy that it sort of all began with. Is that fair to say? But Michael Jackson, MC Hammer, Paula Abdul, Beyonce. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah.
Am
I? You've done your research anyway.
Any of those your heroes or heroines? You know, is there any of those that you say, God, they are, I just aspire to be that person?
Definitely, like, Buddha Stretch, he really, like, was an old, like, he's an OG.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Or there's another one, Don Camblock. He started another part of hip-hop called Lockin', and that'd be very a main section in our crew.
Okay.
So I think a lot of us would look up to him because he is the founder of Lockin. Yeah.
I'd say a lot of you look up to this woman here sitting in the studio with us today, don't you?
Yeah,
don't you?
There's a lot, especially Jacinta, Rachel, Jamie, Casey, Carol. They're like, for our mega crew, they're our instructors. So they come up with all the music, they sort out the choreography, us training, like they dedicate so much of their time to us.
Yes. I understand that.
Yeah.
How long are you at this? How long is the school in existence?
In 2 years' time, we're celebrating 40 years.
Wow.
40 years, yeah. So it is.
I can't believe you're saying that.
Every year I say, this is my last year. I need to have a sleep. But when you're working with kids like this, you know, they're just they inspire you. You just keep going. And I really, if I was to retire shortly, I really would like that this, journey with these kids to Arizona and representing Ireland. I'd love to go out in a high.
Listen, you will, I'm sure. Anyway, anything else you want to say before you leave me today? Thank you all for dropping into studio.
Thank you for having us.
We'd like to thank a lot of people, but also we will have bucket collections going around. We're hoping Brian Browning and all the pubs will get behind us, that we can go around to their pubs. Garda Síochána have given us permits. Thank you to Scotch Hall. They're going to let us dance there, and to Millfield Shopping Centre. And we just got good news from Jones Engineering that they're giving a very decent cheque to us.
Thank you so much, Jones. To them too.
Yeah.
So a lot of hard work to go in between now and August in terms of practicing. Go out there, bring back the bacon to Ireland. Go and do your very best. You will, and represent this country brilliantly. But for today, you're wonderful, wonderful people. I'm delighted to meet you on the show. Fit Kids, Fit Teens. Jacinta Cassidy's with us. Sinead Malarkey, Lee Floyd, Jenny Deegan and Luca Oberek. Thank you all for joining me on the show.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Late Lunch Artist of the Week.
Artist of the Week.
Yes, my Artist of the Week this week is Diana Ross. And guess what? I left my notes upstairs. About my Artist of the Week. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to play the song and I'll retrieve them by the time the song is finished, and I'll do it arseways about today on Late Lunch. Here's my song from Diana Ross this afternoon. It's the theme from the movie Mahogany. I love this song. Do you know where you're going to? Roll it there, Louise. Thank you.
Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life has shown? Do you know?
artist of the week, Diana Ross and the team from Mahogany. A movie she starred in, and actually that movie was about a young fashion designer making her way in life and the business. And she was taken on by a huge fashion store in Rome and worked her way up to the very top. That's the theme of the movie that she starred in, and that was the theme song. And that song was a huge number one for Diana Ross in America, made it to number 5 on the UK charts. And I have to say that it was also nominated for an Academy Award. It's a wonderful, wonderful song. Did you know that she's 5 children and 7 grandchildren and was married actually twice? And when you come up to recent times, she's had a brilliant recent history as well. She didn't record much music from 1999, but in 2021, during lockdown, she cut an album called Thank You in November 2021 and released it. And it was all new stuff for the first time in years and years. It brought her back into the public domain because, you see, she was invited then to appear at Queen Elizabeth II's Platinum party, and she was the star turn at that party in June 2022. It was a huge event. And later on in June of 22, she appeared live on the Pyramid stage at the Glastonbury Festival, and she just knocked the socks off them. I remember it well that day. Anyway, Diana Ross, my artist of the week. Wonderful, wonderful lady, turning 80 years young yesterday. More about Diana tomorrow afternoon in Words and Song from the Valley in Millera. We're coming live from the Valley in Millera tomorrow with the Late Lunch. So if you're in that neck of the woods, or we're planning a late lunch or whatever, we'd love to see you in Millera tomorrow afternoon. We have lots of chat with the owners there, John and Jackie and the crew. Also tomorrow on the show, I'm in the garden with Nikki Kyle, and Rick Cronje will be dropping along too. It's Rick's Wines for Easter on Late Lunch tomorrow afternoon. And we're giving away another €100 on the show tomorrow and a €250 voucher for the Sleeve Russell Hotel. So it's all gearing up for a big late lunch, the final late lunch before Easter tomorrow afternoon, Thursday. Thank you for getting in touch with the show. Always remember the usual numbers, 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. Louise, I mentioned there the price of a pint. Oh, there's going to be some debate in the Wednesday Club tonight.
Oh, talk about cranky men.
Oh, Jerry and Brian. Jerry and Brian and Eamon will be counting out the pennies and their cents.
I won't go up tonight, that's
on the table.
No,
but it'll be the focus of debate.
Okay.
It'll be the focus. Is it going up 6 cent? Is it going up 8 cent? Is it going up 10 cent? And the boys will be doing the maths in their heads. Will they be able to afford another pint?
Will you try and eke that pint out further then? So you'll have to kind of condone it to 3 pints instead of 4 or whatever, you know?
They might.
You take a sip there, Jerry. No, it's your turn now.
I don't sip, I gulp.
Well, then you'll be cast aside from the Wednesday Club.
And I generally, you see, you know, when I go down on Wednesdays, they don't know what, you see, they're all Catholic in their tastes. You know, Jerry has the Smiddics, Brian and Eamon have the Guinness, Declan has the Guinness as well. Jack has rejoined the club. He's usually on Smiddics too. But I go in tonight, I might, the barman always says, well, Jerry, what is it tonight, says Ben? What are you having? What's the mood like tonight?
And you'll be saying water, please.
Is it Guinness? Is it a Heineken? Is it a Moretti? I'm a man of the world with my taste. I'm eclectic. But the others are just, there's the phone ringing. That could be Jerry or Brian auntie now. The others had bored the pants off you. Anyway, they'll be counting the pennies tonight, when you see, and the cents, and seeing how much they'll be costing them. Into the, anyway, will 6 cent or 10 cent, do you think, put anyone off? Seriously, what do you think?
Probably not, but I'm sure it'll, if you add that 6 cent or 10 cent to all the other cents that have been added on to the pint of Guinness in the last couple of years, it might, you know.
Louise, let me tell you this for nothing. I don't drink that much, but I enjoy a few drinks when I do go for a drink. And I'll tell you what,
they won't.
They can put it to wherever they want. But
if it was a tenner, would you still pay it? Temple Bar prices. Would you still go out on a Wednesday night and have 3 or 4 pints?
Yes.
At a tenner?
Yes. Yes, because I enjoy the
camera. You'll be on your own. Enjoy the sound of silence.
The others would be doing Zoom calls from the house. Yeah. Them drinking by the fireside. They'd be zooming into the Wednesday.
Or they'll be sitting around looking at you, drinking the pint, and they'll have a bag of crisps each.
I'll be there no matter what I have to tell you. But listen, wouldn't a tenner be a huge jump from a fiver? It would. That's robbery at a tenner.
But I'll
tell you, like it certainly is. The publicans are kicking about it. We'll see what happens, how much will eventually go on. And I know the cost of everything is going up, but anyway, Wednesday forever, last break of the afternoon, final break of the day, and afterwards we're going to give away that €100 voucher for the Valley Inn. We're making that call now. So if you've entered the Valley Inn competition, answer your phone if it rings now imminently. Louise is making the call there. Just had a look out. Oh my god, four seasons in one day. The hailstones are belting down in this neck of the woods. It is truly, truly awful. It really, really is. And for the time of year, well, it is spring and early spring, but March weather, it is ferocious, I have to say, just out there this afternoon. Cold, hailstones, you name it, sunshine, wind, all in one day. Everything we're getting thrown at us this afternoon. Just waiting for the call to come through here now. Let's see, is it ringing? It is, I think it is. Here we go. Let's see, do we get an answer? Hello, Jackie.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Jackie. It's Gerry Kelly from the Late Lunch Show on LMFM Radio.
Hello,
how are you?
Harry, I'm very good. I'm very good. And you?
I'm really good. How do you pronounce your surname? Is it Traherne?
Yes, it is. Traherne, yes.
It's a lovely name, Jackie Traherne. And where are you, Jackie, today? Where are we talking to you? Where are you from?
I'm from Stamullen, County Meath.
Ah, good on you. Lovely Stamullen. Paddy Bird, I think, is the most famous man in Stamullen. Teaches the badminton there. Do you know Paddy?
I know the name. I don't know.
Yeah, Paddy and Anne. Yeah, they're great people out there. And of course, you have a wonderful football club there in the Pats as well. And you name it. It's the place to live, Stamullen, Jackie.
Sorry, Jerry, it's breaking up there.
It's the place to live, Stamullen.
Absolutely.
Oh, you have everything on your doorstep. Anyway, you know the crack. Yes. I have a €100 voucher to give away for the Valley Inn Malera. Have you ever been to the Valley Inn?
I have indeed.
Oh, lovely. So hopefully now you're going to get this.
I have indeed, yeah.
Great. I hope you're going to get this question right. So look, at what I've done is I've had a look at their a la carte menu and their starters again today. They have lovely starters. I'm going to read out three starters. There's one of these starters on the Valley Inn menu. There's two of them imposters. They're not on the menu. Is that okay? So you must get the right one in one guess. Are you ready? Hi, Jackie. Jackie, hello? Hi, Jackie.
Hello.
Hello, Jackie. Move around with that phone there. You're obviously the signal. But move somewhere where you have a good reception, because there's €100 going to slip through your hands if you don't. Are you all right there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm okay now. Yes.
Okay. Okay, Jackie. Three items from the menu, the a la carte menu. Three starters. There's one of these starters on the Valley Inn menu. There's two of them not. You must get the one that is, okay? Jackie. Hello, Jackie.
Yes, I'm here, Terry.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, yes.
Yeah, okay. So here are the three starters, okay? You must tell me the one that's on the starter menu in the Valley Inn. Are chicken wings, vegetable samosas, or spring rolls on the Valley Inn menu? Which of those is on the menu?
Chicken wings.
Yay! First time out. You have €100 to spend in the Valley Inn at a time of your choice. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
There you go. Brighten up. Brighten up an old rotten Wednesday with the weather, hasn't it?
Thank you so much, Sherry. That's brilliant.
Not at all. Take care of yourself. Enjoy it. Take care, Jackie.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye,
bye, bye, bye. That's Jackie Traherne there in Stamullen. Sorry about the quality of the line there, but she got it in the end, and she got it in one guess. Tomorrow, I'm in the Valley Inn for the show. Late Lunch live from the Valley Inn. We have a €100 voucher to give away and a €250 voucher for the Sleeve Russell Hotel. And we have lots of crack lined up for you. Lewis Capaldi to say goodbye. See you tomorrow.
At the bar, they were playing Wonderwall. I overheard you say you hate this song. Next thing I knew, I'm walking over. Came and tapped you on your shoulder. Said, my dear, you're not the only one.
Spent the night there at my place. That night became 100 days, and I shared all my deepest secrets with you. Soon enough, well, I found out you're something I can't live without. And every time I close my eyes, I miss you. And I know I waited all my life just to fall for someone like you. In the blink of an eye, it all fell.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.